Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and I'm going to apologize in advance if I maybe today look like a sweating preacher. That water's pretty warm, but it was good to be back in that water this morning. I also just want to say as well, what we just did there together was we prayed for the mission and the gospel to go forward. That's what we're doing tonight at 6 o'clock. And I want to just highlight what Pastor Matt said earlier in the service and invite you to come, church. I really believe, other than our Sunday morning gathering together as the body, that's the most important thing that we do is gather together to pray. We hear from God's word here. We speak to God together as a body tonight at 6 o'clock. So I hope you can make it out for that time of prayer right here in the sanctuary. Well, before I began a life in ministry, when I was in college, really my last year or two, I guess, in high school, and then my first three and a half years in college, I was gung-ho running forward towards a career in sports writing. I love sports. I grew up loving all things sports, wanted to know about what was going on with sports, and I went to college to be a sports writer. I wrote for my hometown newspaper in high school, my senior year in high school, and then I worked for a newspaper there in Athens, Georgia for 3 years as well, and I love to read sports writing then. My parents, who are here with us today, got me a big anthology book of the greatest sports writing of the 20th century one year for Christmas. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I loved reading those things. All the old great sports writers, guys like Haywood Brown and Dick Schaap, and a guy in Atlanta like Furman Bisher. Some of you guys may know him. These great sports writers. I love to read those guys. And one thing about them, though, is they showed me what I didn't have. Now, what those guys could all do is they could take an event or even an athlete, they could take a game, and they could make you feel like they felt when they were there. With their words, they could paint a picture so that you would see what they saw, and you would feel as if you were there watching the event, and in a far more profound way, in a far more important way, and in a far more lasting way, that's what King David does in Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, King David paints a picture. This most memorable psalm, I say Psalm 23 or the 23rd psalm, and we are already, probably most of us, many of us, are bringing these phrases up. King David there with these phrases, these images, he paints a picture with his words, and he helps us to see what he saw. He helps us to feel what he felt, and he helps us, he paints a picture, and even though he doesn't use the words peace with God, he shows us what life looks like when we have peace with God. Psalm 23 is a psalm where we see a picture of a life that's marked by peace with God. Peace with God. And I believe that God inspired David's words here to show us that life, to call us to that life, and to point us to how we can find and how we can have that life ourselves. So to honor God's word, if you are able, would you stand with me and let's read Psalm 23, these six verses together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your word. And God, we pray that now you would guide us, you would shepherd us by your word. You would help us to see you for who you are, that we would respond in trust and faith. And in that, Lord, would you give us peace? This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
when you hear those words, when you hear those familiar six verses of Psalm 23, I wonder what comes to mind. I wonder if for you, like me, you hear them in the King James. I almost brought my King James Bible up here today. I hear Psalm 23 in the King James. The phrases come up in the King James. Some of these words I have to look at really carefully while I'm reading them out loud so I don't slip back into some of the King James. I love that translation of this, but I wonder what comes to mind when you hear the 23rd Psalm. Probably for many of us, we're taken back maybe to a time in this room, or maybe another sanctuary, maybe another room like this, at a funeral. We hear these words often at a funeral. Maybe you can see it right now, the funeral of a loved one where this psalm was preached, or maybe the pastor read this psalm. I often will read this psalm right out these doors here when I meet with the family before we enter in for that kind of service. We'll meet there, we'll read the 23rd Psalm, and we'll pray together. But the 23rd Psalm is not a psalm about dying. It's a psalm about living. When you read through the 23rd Psalm, what we find is everyday life, these things that God is providing for David in everyday life. This psalm is the words of a man who trusted in God and found peace in his life. And in the years since, the generations since, the thousands of years since, this psalm has been the psalm that Christians, believers in God, God's people have turned to find peace. Peace. So it is a message that we need at funerals, but it's a message that we need every other day as well. Because peace is what we're all looking for. You're looking for peace. Moms want peace in their homes. They don't want their kids to fight anymore about the PlayStation, right? They want peace, right? Young families want peace. They don't want financial burdens. They want to know everything's going to be okay. They want peace. We want peace, maybe in your workplaces, maybe with your families, maybe in the world at large. We're all looking for peace, but when we talk about peace biblically, we're not just talking about an absence of fighting. We're not just talking about an absence of war. No, we're talking about the Hebrew idea of shalom. Shalom. We're talking here about a wholeness in life, a fullness in life, a life that is flourishing because it has found wholeness in God, it's found rest in God, it's found security in God, comfort in God. It's a life that is aligned according to God's design, so it has a purpose and meaning. This is what we're all looking for. Wholeness and fullness, wellness and rest, security, satisfaction. This is what we mean by peace. And Psalm 23 gives us a picture of peace. It gives us a picture of peace, and from its words, I believe there are three principles that we can find that point us to how we can find peace. Number one is this. Psalm 23 shows us that peace comes when your life is centered on God. Peace comes when your life is centered on God. I took an elective course in college. I guess I'll keep going back to college today. I took an elective course in college called Film and Philosophy. Only the professor there would say film and philosophy, but film and philosophy. And one thing that our professor would do in that course was he would lead us to examine the film, examine the picture as a whole, and then he would lead us to examine the parts of the whole, and then he would lead us to see what the purpose of the whole was, and that's what we're going to do this morning. This morning, we want to zoom out just a bit and consider the psalm as a whole, and then we're going to zoom in and consider the parts of the whole, and then we want to fast forward and see the purpose. But first, let's zoom out here, and what we see is that our life should be centered on God. And we see the structure. We see this even in the structure of the psalm as a principle for your life, even in how this psalm is written. It is a highly structured psalm purposefully. Psalm 23 is purposefully centered on God because the same way is true for us. Our lives should be purposefully centered on God. You can see it with me if you glance down in the text, if you just kind of skim over those six verses together. Maybe one thing you notice right away is that it's very personal. So 17 times in these six verses, you'll read the personal pronoun I or me over and over. It's very personal, but those personal pronouns are all tethered to God. So God's actions and God's character and how God acts on behalf of his people, it is very personal. And, see this, the psalm is centered on, literally built around God, the Lord, all caps, Yahweh, so the personal name of God. Look at it with me. First, there are two times that the name of God is used. So the name of God, I mean Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps, that shows us it is the personal name of God, Hebrews, Yahweh. There's two times that that name is used in this psalm. Do you see them? In the very first verse, very first words, the Lord, and in the very last verse, the very last phrase, will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So at the very beginning of Psalm 23 and at the very end of Psalm 23, we see it's bookended by the Lord. But then look right in the middle. Right in the middle with me. What do you see in the middle of Psalm 23? Verse 4, the promise, you are with me. So Psalm 23 that begins with the Lord and ends with the Lord is centered on this promise that the Lord is with us. It's anchored on this promise. You, God, the Lord, you are with me. And now that's interesting because it doesn't just look like it's in the middle. It actually literally is in the precise center of this psalm. Psalm 23 isn't just a beautiful psalm. It's a highly structured psalm. In Hebrew, there are 26 words before that promise, you are with me, and there are 26 words after that promise, you are with me. It's literally the center of the poem, and that number 26 is actually symbolic. If you don't mind, we'll get a little technical for just a minute. Hebrew writers were known to use at times what's known as gematria. Gematria is a tool for assigning a numerical value to letters of the alphabet. So Pastor Matt actually mentioned this a few months ago in a sermon here. That would be, for us, that would be assigning the letter A with the value 1, the letter B with the value 2, on and on and on. And if you were to do that, so for my name, for instance, my name, Bert, B-E-R-T, would have the value of 2 plus 5 plus 18 plus 20, or a value of 45. So you see what we're talking about here. Hebrew writers would do that, and there are 26 words before you are with me. There are 26 words after you are with me, and not only is that then in the exact center of the psalm, but that number 26 was the Hebrew numerical value for the name Yahweh. It's another way for him to build the Lord in this psalm. So we begin with the Lord. And then he's highlighting, for the Hebrew readers, they would have seen it, highlighting the Lord. You are with me, highlighting the Lord, and we end with the Lord. All that to say, David is purposefully structuring the psalm around the Lord at the beginning, at the end, in the middle, with a very number of words. God is the central focus of Psalm 23. Because in this psalm that gives us a picture of peace, God is showing us that God needs to be the central focus of your life. Your life, to have peace. Peace only comes when your life is centered on God. So how do you center your life on God? How do you center your life on God? It includes at least these two things. You center your life around God's revelation of himself in this book. You center your life around God's revelation of himself in this book. You'll hear it said, I actually had a gentleman say it to me this week, that it's the height of arrogance to claim that we can say anything definitive about God. And that would be true, except that God has revealed himself to us in Scripture. God wants you to know him. And he's given you his word so that you can know him and you can center your life around what he said about who he is and how we should live. He wants you to know him. He's made himself known to you. So you center your life and then you make no room for rivals. Make no room for rivals. There can be no true peace when there's a false king on the throne. There can be no true peace in your life when there's a false god on the throne of your life. That's why the Old Testament and New Testament are serious about getting rid of idols, putting out idols, putting to death idols. You can't have idols. There's no peace when there's a false king, a false god on the throne of your life. So the question is, what else or who else are you allowing to reign in your heart? There will be no peace if it's anything, anyone other than God. Peace comes when your life is centered on God. We see that in Psalm 23. But second, we see this. Peace comes when you're more concerned with God's character than you are with your circumstances. Peace comes when you're more concerned with God's character than you are with your circumstances. So we think about this idea of peace, and I would ask you, what knocks peace out of your life? What takes peace away from you? When do you lose peace in your life? Finances? A health issue? Turmoil with others, maybe turmoil within your own family. Uncertainty about what's ahead and what's to come. Unease, or maybe even fear, a feeling of insecurity. Uncertainty about how you're going to make it, how you're going to have everything that you need. Listen, the guy who wrote this, David, he may have been king, but none of those things were lost on him. When he was anointed to be the king, King Saul was reigning at the time, and God had told David that he would be king, and then Saul would pursue David, make him a fugitive, make him an outcast, and try to come and capture him and kill him. David had his own family issues. They are many. We could point to many, but we'll pick out just one. David's son, Absalom, David's favorite son, Absalom, would ultimately turn against him, would rebel against him, and David would spend 2 years fleeing for his life from his own son, who he still deeply loved. And when Absalom died, David grieved, he mourned, "Oh, Absalom, my son, oh, Absalom, my son, I wish I had died instead of you." He lost other children. He knew deep grief and hurt and loss. He had his own significant sins, his own significant failings. He had other threats on his life, and still he could say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." So what did David know about God that we need to know? What did David know about God that you need to know? Well, we zoomed out and saw the structure. Let's zoom in. And when we zoom in, we examine the psalm. What we see is this. There's two metaphors for God in this psalm. You see them in the first four verses and then in verse 5 and 6. We have the metaphor, one is very clear, that God is the shepherd. And then we have the metaphor in verse 5 and 6 that God is a host. God is a shepherd and God is a host. And throughout, what we see is that God is a God who guides and protects and provides for his people. God is the shepherd and God is the host, and he guides and he protects and he provides for his people. See it with me in Psalm 23. We'll put the first four verses up. God is a shepherd. God is a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That name shepherd is also was used for kings in that day. So he's saying also, not only is God my shepherd, but God is my king. And he's emphasizing there, the Lord is my king. No one else, no other God. God is my king. God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's not want in the sense of desires. That's want in the sense of, the NIV says, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I lack nothing. That's what he's getting at here. You have all you need when God is your shepherd. And that same phrase is used in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. The people of Israel had been leaving. They've been wandering. They've been slaves. Now they've been wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. Think about all the things they would not have. They had no permanent home, no permanent dwelling. They would not have many of the possessions that they wished they would have had. No permanent place to work and build a family and invest in their land. None of these things. But God says in Deuteronomy chapter 2, all these years that I brought you out, you lacked nothing. You had all that you needed. You lack nothing. God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's a sign of rest, a sign of ample provision. So the shepherds would lead their flock from field to field to find food. But here, these are grassy pastures. We can stay. We can eat several meals. We can rest. He leads me beside still waters, restful waters, where we can find food and drink. And then verse 3, he restores my soul. These two things, and giving all we need in green pastures and still waters, he restores, he refreshes my life. He leads me as the shepherd in paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness, not just right living, morality, but the right paths. It's the job of the shepherd to know where to take his sheep. Listen, he knows where he's taking you. Wherever God is leading you is the right path for you. He leads you on the right paths for his namesake. He does this for his glory. He's bound by His name to treat you in this way. His name is on the line. Even though, David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or I walk through the deep darkness, all that we saw last week in Psalm 22, all that in the first two-thirds of that psalm, David is here. He's where he ended in Psalm 22, this place of trust. Even though I walk through the deep darkness, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, no disaster, no harm. I'll fear none of that. Why? He gives us one reason here. He'll give us another reason in verse 6. Why? For you are with me. God's presence is promised, which means God's action on your behalf is promised. Fear no evil because you're with me. This is the great promise of Scripture from cover to cover. God is with His people. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, the tools of the shepherd to protect the sheep from enemies and to guide the sheep. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God gives comfort. He's the shepherd, verse 5 and 6, and He's the host. So He's going to shift metaphors here, and now we're seeing God inviting us in where He's spread a table before us, and He provides. You prepare a table before me. He comes to feast with Him. It's pointing us forward to communion we'll celebrate next Sunday. It's pointing us forward to the new heavens and the new earth. We'll dine with Him. He wants to dine with you. He provides this spread, provides this table before you in the presence of my enemies, so there's protection as well. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. He's pouring out honor and respect even on us, pouring out honor on us. Surely goodness and mercy, goodness and steadfast love, God's faithful love that we don't deserve, surely goodness and mercy will follow me or pursue me. God's love is pursuing you, Christian. And there's some Christians maybe who don't feel like you deserve that. I want you to know His goodness and His mercy is pursuing you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. He's a host, and you cannot outstay your welcome as His guest. He's inviting you in all the days of your life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another reason to have no fear, because even the worst thing that could happen, death, is ultimately for our good. If God can do that with the worst thing, what can He do with every other thing? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is the shepherd, and God is the host. And as the shepherd host, God guides and God protects and God provides. Those are the truths that give us peace. Peace comes when our life is focused on God's character and not our own circumstances. So how can you know? How can you know if you're more concerned with God's character than you are with your circumstances? Let me ask you a couple of questions. Does your peace, or your joy, or your fulfillment, or your sense of satisfaction, or your sense of security, all of these things, do those things change for you? Does your peace or joy or fulfillment, do those things change for you based on your circumstances in life? Does your peace change based on your life circumstances? Or we could ask this, do you see God, do you know God as the shepherd and as the host, who loves to guide you, who loves to protect you, who loves to provide abundantly for you simply because that's who He is? Or do you think you have to earn it? Do you think you have to deserve it? See, if we think that we deserve it and then He acts, if we think we have to earn it, we're focusing more on our circumstances than we are on God's character, and then we're always left wondering, am I good enough? Have I done enough? Maybe if I didn't do that and did this instead, maybe then God would care. If I didn't do that that I did all those years ago, then God would care for me. But what Psalm 23 is celebrating
is that God guides and God protects and God provides simply because that's who He is. It's His nature. He's the shepherd. He's the host. He loves to guide you on the right path. He loves to protect you, and He loves to provide abundantly for you. So even when circumstances are the worst, when you're walking through the deep darkness, the valley of the shadow of death, when you're surrounded by your enemies, maybe literally, or maybe the enemies of a financial crisis, a health crisis, a family crisis, when you're surrounded by those enemies right there, you remember God is committed to your care simply because that's who He is. He will not leave you. He goes before you and He's with you. He will not leave you. So do not fear or be dismayed. He's the host. He's the shepherd. He guides and He protects and He provides, and that's where peace is found. Peace comes when we focus on God's character. And finally, peace comes when your life is centered on God. Peace comes when you're focused on God's character and not your circumstances. Finally, peace comes when the Lord, who is the shepherd, becomes your shepherd and your Lord through faith. Peace comes when the Lord, who is the shepherd, becomes your Lord and your shepherd through faith. So our oldest three daughters swim on the swim team. They're popping their head up now. Swim on the swim team at Half Mile Lake and Pebble Creek. And we were at their swim meet this past Thursday. And I love watching my daughters when they're competing in swimming. And my favorite place to stand, if I'm able to, if I can get a good view, I like to stand at the end of the lane where they're coming straight towards me. So they're there at the blocks, and the little buzzer goes off, and they dive in the water, and they come straight down that lane, and they're just giving it all they've got. I love to see them coming straight towards me, but what I love the most, if I can see it again, if the timers are out of the way and if the judges are out of the way, what I love the most, I've never told you guys this, but what I love the most is when they pop their head out of the water after the race is over, and they come up and they look around, they're kind of getting their bearings there, and right there, what I think is, that's my girl. That's my girl. Now, that's not to take anything away from Stephanie, right? That's Stephanie's girls too. She's probably thinking the same thing, but that's my girl precisely because that's our girl, right? That's our girl, and so I can say, that's my girl. You see what I mean? She's our girl. That means she's my girl. And David is doing the same thing here with God. See, all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the Psalms, what you see is God is the shepherd of His people. God is the host for His people. He provides for His people. He cares for His people. He protects His people. All these things for His people. And David is taking here by faith what God does for everyone as if God is doing it for him individually. What God does for all of us, God is doing for me personally. David is personalizing this. He's not forgetting the community. He's not ignoring the people of God. We don't need to over-individualize this psalm, but David is saying, because He's our shepherd, He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's personalizing it. He's emphasizing His personal trust in God, and that's where he's found true peace, through his personal trust in the shepherd. And who is that shepherd? Who is that Lord? We zoomed out, we've zoomed in, now let's fast forward a little bit. Who's that Lord? Who's that shepherd? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. We could do the same thing we did last week with Psalm 22. We could draw out numerous themes and we could find them in the New Testament. Jesus, the host, who's going to prepare a place for us, and He's going to bring us to be with Him. Jesus, who said, "My peace I give you, peace I give you, my peace I give you." Jesus, the shepherd. John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me." He said, "And I lay down my life for the sheep." He's speaking of His death coming on the cross, where He would lay down His life for us. Why did Jesus lay down His life? To give you peace. Jesus laid down His life to give you peace. Jesus did what you couldn't do for yourself. By laying down His life, by dying in your place,
He's offering you forgiveness of all of your sins. Forgiveness of sins, declaring you right with God and thereby giving you the peace, fullness of life with God, flourishing, wholeness, security, rest, the peace with God that you need. Romans chapter 5, for those who are believers in Christ, the promise is this: therefore, since we have been justified by faith, not by works, by trust in Christ, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus laid down his life to purchase peace for you, to give you peace with God. The peace that you're looking for. The peace you're looking for. God guides, God protects, God provides. You're looking for purpose, you're looking for security, and you're looking for fulfillment. All of those things is found in Jesus. When you give your life to trust in him, what you find is that Christians in this room, church, this is all of our story. I could ask you, what has Jesus done? Jesus has been my guide. Jesus has been my protector. And Jesus has been my provider. This is what Jesus does. Provides all you need. So church, Christian, remember. Remember, your peace is found in Christ, your shepherd. So stay centered on God. Stay focused on his character and not your circumstances. And like David, let me encourage you to make it personal. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that Christ loved me and Christ gave himself for me. Yes, Jesus loved the world and gave himself for the world. Jesus loved his bride, the church, and he gave himself for the church. But Jesus loved me and Jesus gave himself for me. Make it personal. Stay focused on him and what he's done, what he's doing for you, and find peace. And non-Christian friend here today, that can be true for you as well. Today, that can be true for you. You can know that peace today. You can know that peace through giving your life to Christ. I want you to come find me after the service is over in just a minute. I'm going to pray. Pastor Matt's going to come forward and he's going to lead us in a benediction. And as he does, I'm going to be heading out those back doors right there, right back there. And after the service is over, I would love to talk with you and tell you how you can find peace with God through Christ today. Forgiveness of your sins and new life in him. If you're joining us online, they're going to put a phone number up in the text box. You can look at the chat section right now. You'll see that phone number. You can call that number. You can text that number. One of our pastors will get back with you today to help you know how you can find peace with God through Christ, through faith today. We want that to be true for you. So don't leave today. Don't leave until you know you have that peace. Would you bow and let's pray together.